Rod's Pulse Podcast number 44, Slice of Life Workshop in Podsafe Jefferson Airplane.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. How's that for a little bit of nostalgia? That's the Jefferson Airplane singing Somebody to Love, and that's a live recording from the Monterey Pop Festival 40 years ago. As I've mentioned in the past, I'm able to play songs like that because the owner of the performance tape doesn't owe anything to the record labels, and they've uploaded it to the podcast, the PodSafe Music Network. So enjoy. If you stay tuned at the end of my podcast, I'll play the full song. Today, my main topic is some notes from my recent attendance at the Slice of Life workshop in Salt Lake City, Utah. Before I get to that, I just wanted to fill you in on a bit of news from the Podosphere. It's actually a comment that Dr. Susan Toth-Cohen here at Jefferson College of Health Professions left on my blog. And she was reflecting on learning Second Life. If those of you don't know, Second Life is a very new. It's a very immersive three-dimensional environment where you create an account and you create your own avatar and you can manipulate different things in this three-dimensional world, and it's being used more and more for educational purposes. So there is a pretty steep learning curve, and Dr. Cohen, Toth-Cohen, said that this was a good way to get some perspective on students learning a technology that they may not be familiar with. And so it's a bit of a humbling experience to begin to learn about Second Life. And she pointed out some very good resources to get your feet wet, and some of them are in on YouTube. There are many videos that folks have uploaded there talking about some of the different features and functionality in Second Life, and she points us to a very good one. It's produced by the New Media Consortium, which is an international not-for-profit consortium of organizations dedicated to the exploration and use of new media and new technologies. So in my show notes, I have a link to their YouTube video, which is about the New Media Consortium campus that they've created in Second Life. It's very impressive, and it's a good introduction to Second Life. Now for my main topic today, I wanted to share with you some of the highlights from the conference I attended. Now, if you recall, Dr. Suzanne Stensis is the founder and driving force behind Slice. I interviewed her in Rod's Pulse podcast number 35, so I encourage you to go back and listen to that. She's a very dynamic person, and I think this was the 19th Slice of Life workshop, and she's decided to end it here and actually join up with another group that we learned about at the conference. It's the International Association for Medical Educators, and they will be having their meeting in Salt Lake City in 2008, I believe in July. So I just wanted to, I can't really do justice to the full conference. I have a link to the Slice of Life workshop website, which I encourage you to visit. But I did want to point out a couple of the highlights, some of the presentations that made an impact on me. and mostly from the technology standpoint. But the first one was the keynote presentation on Thursday of the meeting. It is called Principles of E-Learning, Lessons from Cognitive Psychology. And that was given by Dr. Jeff Norman, who is a Assistant Dean for Educational Research at McMaster University in Canada. And he gave a very interesting and somewhat maybe controversial presentation. He reviewed the empirical literature in psychology and medical education that addressed instructional design questions in what he says are the three broad domains: learning and retention of knowledge, the role of deliberate practice in learning for transfer, and the appropriate role of simulation in skill development. And his conclusions, I think, were counter to some of the current thought in instructional design, and that is that less is more. But he gave some very compelling arguments and data, real data, showing that oftentimes students are distracted by some of the bells and whistles, and that you know, something as simple as, instead of putting the caption below a graphic, an image, put it side by side and you know, next to a an image. So he gave some other examples like that. So I think it's well worth paying attention to as we design our educational technologies. The second one I'll mention is a presentation called Pocket Snips, Ubiquitous as YouTube, but with cutting-edge quality. And this was presented by Drs. Helmer, Tops, and Whitham from Cambrian College and Northern Ontario School of Medicine in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. So they got a grant to produce videos that could be used to enhance different kinds of learning technologies, learning content. And rather than have a long video with talking heads, they decide to distill down the content to the very essentials and make it available to everyone. So it's a very nice concept. They showed some examples of very high quality video tidbits, or pocket snips as they call it, that were free to use and go up to their website. I'll have a link in my show notes. And for example, they showed one on the volar slab, which is putting, a cast around your wrist. They have others on intravenous line insertion, venipuncture, and ulnar gutter forearm, putting casts on again. So it's a intriguing idea, very interesting, and I hope that they continue to develop these brief videos that and make it available for all of us to use. The third one was a presentation, another keynote on Friday, and it was entitled The Socialization of Technology, Medicine, and Education, Driving Forces for a New Hyperlearning Environment. And that was given by Francis Raybuck. He's the president of Raybuck Associates here in Philadelphia. In fact, as I learned, he worked here at Jefferson. We overlapped a little bit in the late 80s. I never really met him, but he gave a very compelling presentation on the development of technology and how it's going to affect medical education in the long run. And just to give you a little flavor for what he discussed, he talked about the shifting worlds of technology, medicine, and education, how it's going to affect the learning environment of the future. New wireless options will bring high-speed broadband access to remote areas. On-demand video and visualization, 3D technologies will become a part of the consumer space, as many of these sort of entertainment technologies are, but eventually get into education. And stressing folksonomy, tagging versus taxonomy models, where the user decides, you know, what's valuable and tags them appropriately. And he talked about robotics moving from the shop floor to the surgical floor. So, an enlightening presentation, and I encourage you to learn more about him and his input to our technology. Now, the last presentation was called I'm Melting, Web 2.0 and the Death of the Virtual Learning Environment. And that was presented by Rachel Elloway from the University of Edinburgh, UK. And she gave a very interesting presentation, as you might tell from the title, it was based on some imagery from The Wizard of Oz. And she was basically saying how you've heard of mashups, perhaps, that a lot of the so-called Web 2.0 some of the Web 2.0 technologies that I've been talking about are rapidly growing to dominate the web. She mentioned, as I did, that Time Magazine elected, quote, us, in other words, as their personality of the year with respect to all the contributions that users have made to sites like Wikipedia, YouTube, MySpace, Blogger, Flickr, and so on. So she's claiming somewhat controversially that the educational use of these technologies, particularly wikis and blogs, is entering the mainstream and might denote the end of the centrally planned learning environments. Now, in addition to some of the presentations, I just want to pass on to you a couple of little technology tips that you might find useful. One had to do with audience response systems, and the presenter asked the audience how many used the technology by Turning Point. And this is a very popular audience response system. Gosh, I would say almost three-quarters of the hands raised. And in fact, I found out that we're using it here at Jefferson. I don't have direct experience with the Turning Point audience response system, but in this particular presentation, they discussed the fact that the dean at this institution only wanted to have one exam at the end of the year. So, somewhat controversial, I would say. But what they did was they turned to audience response systems to allow the students to self-assess. And the students really seemed to like it. Several times, maybe in a given lecture even, they were asked to respond. And this was anonymous, and they could see immediately whether they got it right or not. So it's something that you might want to consider. Another technology that I discovered was called iSquint, and this is a free iPod video converter for the Macintosh. Some of the ways that you can, some of the technology applications that you can use to compress video either may take a very long time or it may not give the proper results on, say, a video iPod, but this free application apparently does a great job, so check that out. Again, I have links in my show notes. And the last technology tip has to do with a tool for tracking patients and procedures in clerkships. Now, at Jefferson, we have our own homegrown application, which I think is great, but if you don't have one, you might consider talking to us or looking at what's called Clerkship Companion, and that's a program that was developed at Drexel. So there are my three technology tips for today, and of course I'll mention that I gave a presentation on, guess what, podcasting. I talked about podcasting and Web 2.0, implications for medical education. There's a link to the abstract on my show notes and also to my PowerPoint presentation, which is hosted at SlideShare, which is another technology you might be interested in. So. It was a great meeting. There's always plenty of social opportunities to talk with your peers and learn some new people and technologies. So I heartily recommend that group, and maybe you would like to attend their next meeting, which is going to be with the International Association for Medical Educators. So that about does it for my podcast today. So stay tuned for the PodSafe music selection. Grace Slick and the Jefferson Airplane presenting Somebody to Love. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
I'd like to introduce a perfect example of what the world's coming to. It's Jefferson Airplanes in France.
Don't you? Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.